The headlines: Palestinian officials say the death toll from relentless Israeli bombings in the Gaza Strip is nearing 24,800. Mexico and Chile refer Israel's war on Gaza to the ICC over escalating violence against Palestinian civilians. And also in our headlines, the Yemeni army says it has targeted an American ship in the Gulf of Aden with appropriate naval missiles in response to U.S.-led airstrikes on the country. Hello and welcome, everybody. 105 days into the Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, the regime continues with its carpet bombing campaign against the besieged Palestinian territory. In the latest such attacks, at least five people were killed. In an Israeli airstrike on a residential building in Khan Yunis, southern Gaza, another 12 lost their lives in a strike, an apartment near Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. The latest casualties bring to more than 180 the number of Palestinians killed in Israeli raids across Gaza over the past 24 hours. The raids were conducted under the cover of a near-total communications blackout. The overall death toll from the regime's war has passed 24,760. Meanwhile, a UN rights expert has said what Israel is doing in Gaza is a violation of international law and is highly illegal. South African politician and youth activist Mohammed Khaled Said has talked to us about the Israeli genocide in Gaza. He also explains why the regime is imposing a communications blackout there.
This is a genocide. The pictures are here. The death toll speaks to it. But even within that context, the people of Gaza and the resistance and Hamas in particular have put up a brave fight and they continue to resist. And we want to commend them for that. Without Iran, this particular axis giving support to the suffering people of Gaza and to the resistance in Gaza will not be possible. The aim of the Israeli regime in carrying out this particular blackout is so that they can suppress the information coming out of Gaza, so that their crimes, their atrocities, their genocide cannot be sent out to the rest of the world. But still, the information is at our disposal. So that's their objective. But also, you know, crazy regimes like the Israeli regime, especially the one led by Benjamin Netanyahu, does not always even think rationally, even in terms of their own interests. Yes, the interest is to obliterate, to flatten Gaza, to kill each and every Palestinian living in Gaza. But the blocking out of communication, they see it as part of that, but they do not understand that this is simply backfiring. It's making the Israeli regime yet again look like a regime that wants to close out each and every communication.
Israel confirms new military losses and clashes with Palestinian resistance fighters in the Gaza Strip. The military says an Israeli trooper died of wounds he sustained in battle in southern Gaza on Wednesday. Three reservists were also wounded seriously in the north and center of the Strip. According to the Israeli military, a total of 191 soldiers have been killed in the ground invasion of Gaza. Palestinian resistance groups, however, say that the death toll is much higher as Israel hides the real number of its military losses. In the meantime, the military wing of Palestine's Hamas resistance movement has said that their fighters targeted a Merkava tank with three soldiers aboard. The Al-Qassam brigades also detonated the mouth of a tunnel in a Gaza City neighborhood as a group of Israeli infantries were there. Mexico and Chile have referred Israel's war on Gaza to the International Criminal Court. The two countries say the referral is because of escalating violence against civilians in Gaza, especially children. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry has welcomed the move by Mexico and Chile. The ministry said the referral confirms the ICC's need to fulfill its mandate by deterring and prosecuting the most serious crimes. Last week, South Africa also presented a case at the International Court of Justice over the Gaza war. The case said Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, demanded the ICJ order an emergency suspension of the regime's military campaign there. A large number of countries backed South Africa's move. Like many countries around the world, Austrians have also held rallies to express solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. People took to the streets defying a ban on such demonstrations. Our correspondent in Vienna has asked some Austrians about media bias and the lack of coverage of pro-Palestine voices. Let's take a listen.
Since I am mainly influenced by Austrian television, I think it is very one-sided. I read a lot of international newspapers, and the reporting there is entirely different than on Austrian television. Namely, it is not as one-sided. In Austria, there is much reporting from Israel's perspective, and the situation in the Gaza Strip is only featured in very few media outlets. Above all, there is hardly any information about what the civilian population in Gaza is doing.
When you come in maybe Austria, it's a bit biased, yeah. Also, the main source where you can, nowadays, where you can find the truth is through social media, because now you have access to information from there also, and people see the truth, and you can see the murder of the child, the children in Gaza, what you cannot see in the media. The decision taken in UN also that are hiding for people, and you can see it through social media. Yeah, that is my opinion. There's some how can I say? Some media have a hide agenda. Yeah, some of them, not all of them.
I miss the media coverage of the background to the conflict, the history, the connections. Horrible images are shown enough, but not enough information is given to the people about what led to the war and the attacks. I can hardly manage to watch all the hardship and atrocities in the reports about the war. Overall, I am very skeptical about the media coverage. I have the feeling that the reporting is very one-sided, only presenting Israel's perspective. I do not want to defend violence, but there is a reason why this all happened. If you constantly maltreat someone, then of course you have to expect a backlash at some point. The way Israel is reacting here with such exaggeration is nothing other than genocide. I admire South Africans who have the courage to call out Israel. In Austria, the media does not have the courage to do this.
I feel like the news in the West is too pro-Israel. There is also a lot of fake news on X and Twitter. To better understand the situation, people should see more of the gruesome images of violence and suffering in Gaza.
Israel and Hezbollah resistance movement continue to exchange fire along Lebanon's southern border. In the latest clashes, Israeli occupation forces have conducted new strikes on several Lebanese towns. In response, Hezbollah has fired a barrage of missiles at Upper Galilee in the northern occupied territories. Israeli media say a drone was also launched from Lebanon and reached Haifa Bay. The two sides have been engaged in intense fighting since Israel launched its genocidal war on Gaza in early October. The Lebanese movement says attacks on Israel will stop only if the regime ends its onslaught on Palestinians. The Yemeni army says that it has targeted an American ship in the Gulf of Aden in response to U.S.-UK strikes on the Arab country.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a targeting operation against an American ship came Ranger in the Gulf of Aden with several appropriate naval missiles, resulting in direct hits.
Sa'di described as inevitable Yemen's retaliation for the aggression by the U.S. and U.K. He added that any new strike on Yemen won't go unanswered and unpunished. The U.S. has confirmed the attack on its ship. The Pentagon says it was the third attack by the Yemenis this week on U.S.-owned vessels in and around the Red Sea. That's a crucial lane for international trade where tensions have been spiking over the last 2 months. Yemen has been attacking Israeli-linked ships in retaliation for the regime's genocide in Gaza. The tensions in the Red Sea have escalated further in the past week after the U.S. and U.K. began airstrikes on Yemen, setting what they called threats to international shipping. Thousands of people have hit the streets of Yemen's northern city of Sa'da to voice support for Palestinians in the wake of Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. The demonstrators waved Palestinian and Yemeni flags, chanting, "The U.S. is the mother of terrorism." The slogan is a reminder of Washington's unequivocal support for Israel as well as its aggression against Yemen. The protesters also slammed the U.S. move to redesignate Yemen's Ansar Allah movement as a terrorist group. For weeks, Yemenis have been holding nationwide rallies every Friday in a show of support for the people of Gaza. The United States has relisted Yemen's Ansar Allah movement as a global terrorist group Over attacks against Israeli-linked ships in the Red Sea, Yemeni citizens have spoken about the U.S. move as well as the ongoing strikes by Washington and London against their country.
They can hit as much as they want. We are ready to support the Palestinian cause until the last breath. We, along with the generations after us, will continue to confront them.
Their repeated attacks will never deter us. America has been striking us for a long time. The aggression against us is veiled under the name of the Saudi and Emirati aggression, but America has been bombing us for a long time.
This decision is a political move to cover up Israel's crimes. Claiming that we are a terrorist group is to justify the airstrikes on Yemen and Palestine.
This decision is not new. It's not an objective decision and is not based on any real evidence, because this decision was made before. This classification was approved during the era of former US President Trump, then the Houthis were removed from the terror list. This proves that it was a decision that was not based on practical reality. Rather, this indicates that the US makes these decisions to blackmail people and to use the decision like a sword against anyone who stands against American and Israeli interests.
This classification on the list of terrorism is under our feet. We don't care about it. We have fought wars for 9 years, and from the first day, we have been attacked by the US, Israel, and Britain, and this is not counting their agents from the Arab countries.
We say to them, if Ansarullah are classified as a terrorist group, then what about Israel? What about the US that kills innocent Palestinian children and that destroys homes above their residence? What do we say about them? Are they not our Arab brothers? And is Palestine not Arab like us? Isn't it our right to stand up and defend our Palestinian people with all we've got? Palestinians are our brothers and we will not be silent about them and we will not let them down.
The Iranian military has launched day 2 of air defense drills marked by a variety of exercises. The maneuvers featured operations using air defense systems to counter electronic and cyber attacks. The units involved in the drills also use drones to electronically disrupt radars as well as air reconnaissance systems. Participating troops practice shooting down targets at low altitude using, for the first time, a domestically developed short-range air defense system called the Ninth of Day.
We are using Nohedeh system in bulk. That is a new anti-cruise missile system. Of course, it has passed its operational tests for more than a year.
The maneuvers also involved intelligence satellites, unmanned aerial vehicles, and air defense radars. Intelligence gathering systems were used as well to spot and take out mock enemy targets. The drills are carried out jointly by the Iranian Army and Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, the IRGC. And Iran has criticized the Arab League for condemning a strike earlier this week by the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps in Iraq's Kurdistan region. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani expressed regret over the statement issued by Arab League foreign ministers. He said the statement's provisions are rejected. Kanani said the strike was carried out based on Iran's legitimate right to confront terrorists affiliated to the Israeli regime in the Iraqi city of Erbil. He added that those terrorists had posed threats against Iran's national security and its citizens. The spokesman said respecting the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Iraq is a fixed principle of Tehran's policy toward Baghdad. Kanani, however, noted that the Islamic Republic won't hesitate to deter sources of threats and punish those who commit crimes against the country. On Wednesday, the 22-member Arab League called the IRGC's operation a flagrant violation of Iraq's sovereignty. In the United States, the election season is already here, but with far more dread than hope. Many believe there will be even more turmoil this November than in 2020. With widespread concerns about election-related violence. Rami Mazuri has more on the story.
The United States election campaign has just officially begun 10 months before going to the voting booth. In Iowa, ex-President Donald Trump easily won the Republican Party's kickoff to primary season, but he's still as controversial as ever. Many openly claim that his return to the White House would produce civil war, retribution tribunals, dictatorship, and even worse. In New Hampshire, a revolt against the Democratic National Committee means local Democrats will soon hold a primary which has been stripped of its delegates. That helps reflect the deep dissatisfaction within the party towards President Joe Biden. Many wonder if the previous election's unprecedented political activism and months of chaos will return.
Yeah, 2020 was crazy. I hope it's not as intense as that.
I think 2024 is going to look like 1968. The parallels are uncanny. Chicago convention, et cetera, et cetera. I think very good chance Biden will pull out in the first quarter of this year and not be the nominee. So I think anything and everything will happen.
With both candidates having such high disapproval ratings and amid such economic, political, and military disaster, it's widely expected that both candidates will run extremely negative campaigns.
I'm expecting a brutal campaign. They're all garbage in some way or another, and hope for the best for the country. I mean, how I end up voting, I guess, is my own particular decision when the time comes, but certainly don't like where the country's at today.
Biden's support for Israel's latest war on Gaza has deeply angered his critical base of young voters. Many Muslim and Arab Americans have vowed to not cast a vote for Biden. Either group could tip the balance in what polls expect to be the fourth consecutive presidential election to be decided by less than 4.5 points.
I think that's the kryptonite for Joe Biden. He's screwed up that situation so badly that, you know, the younger generations turned against him. And I don't see, if he continues with his stance on Gaza, I don't see, like, the younger generation coming back for his support.
The war against Gaza will also drastically shape congressional elections. A recent nationwide poll found that voters prefer candidates who support a ceasefire in Gaza to those who don't by a whopping 2-to-1 margin. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight. A planned Republican primary debate in New Hampshire on Thursday, 18th of January, has been cancelled because the candidates have refused to participate in the debate. And former President Donald Trump has coasted to a strong victory in Monday's Iowa caucus. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The Republican presidential debate that was expected to happen on Thursday, 18th of January, just days before the New Hampshire primary, has now been cancelled after the candidates were unwilling to participate in the debate. Our intent was to host the debate coming out of the Iowa caucuses, but we always knew that would be contingent on the candidates and the outcome of the race in Iowa. As a result, while our robust election coverage will continue, ABC News and WMUR-TV will not be moving forward with Thursday's Republican presidential primary debate in New Hampshire, an ABC News spokesperson confirmed in a statement on Tuesday, 16th of January. Former President Donald Trump finished in first place in the Iowa caucuses on Monday, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis coming in second, and Nikki Haley, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, placed third, according to CBS News projections. Nikki Haley argued that her performance in Iowa makes the primary campaign a two-person race between her and Donald Trump. She said on Tuesday, 16th of January, that she would not participate in Thursday's debate unless Donald Trump was also there, making Ron DeSantis the only candidate who had committed to the event. "I've done five debates," Nikki Haley told CBS News. "Donald Trump has done none. I want him on the stage. I welcome him when he says he's going to do it. We'll be there, but until then, I'm not going to bother." Donald Trump has avoided debating his GOP rivals in any of the five primary debates, citing his dominant lead in the opinion polls. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley were the only two candidates to participate in last week's debate, hosted by CNN in Des Moines, Iowa, just ahead of the Iowa caucuses. National broadcaster ABC News has also covered this story and tells us more. Former President Donald Trump coasted to a strong victory in Monday's Iowa caucuses, which, despite depressed turnout amid a brutal weather, saw him embraced by a majority of the state's Republican base. Now Trump's gearing up to battle directly with former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley in New Hampshire, looking to quash what appears to be her best hope at beating him in his quest for a third straight presidential nomination, sources in Donald Trump's orbit told ABC News, offering a glimpse into his immediate next moves on the trail. "The game plan is always to win, and whether it's scorched earth or highlight the major deficiencies in her record, that's what we can expect the next week," according to one former campaign official who remains in touch with the Trump's current campaign team and who asked not to be named to share internal discussions. Donald Trump has a chance to ending this race and putting the final nail in the coffin of this presidential primary in New Hampshire, the former official said. "He's not one to leave artillery in the gun," he said. Monday night's results saw Donald Trump clinch a thorough victory in Iowa, taking more than 50% of the vote and winning every county except for one. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, who were separated by only a couple of percentage points for second and third place respectively, ultimately trailed Donald Trump by about 30% each, despite months of pitching themselves as better alternatives to win the White House. Allies of Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley were quick to note the results came out of just one state at the start of the 2024 presidential race, though it is one state that receives outsized attention, and arguably few voters were making their voices heard. Around 110,000 people voted in the Republican caucuses in Iowa, which was about 60% of the turnout in the last contested caucuses in 2016. And even as the vote totals and entrance polls suggested that Donald Trump continues to have problems with more moderate and younger voters, and in more educated and less rural areas, his win showed that the base of the Republican Party remains with him. Donald Trump is favored to win upcoming primaries in New Hampshire and South Carolina, but both states offer different quirks that theoretically provide openings for Nikki Haley on a narrow path towards competing with him through the rest of the primary season, according to observers and experts. Independents and people registered as undeclared, who typically lean more moderate, are allowed to vote in New Hampshire's primary and in South Carolina's primary, where Donald Trump has a 30-point edge in 538 polling average, and is seen as potentially more hospitable to Nikki Haley than Iowa, given her existing connection to voters as a former governor of South Carolina. Donald Trump and Nikki Haley have already engaged in tit-for-tat attacks, with Trump casting aspersions on Haley's intelligence and labeling her a globalist, and a South Carolinian depicting the former president as an agent of chaos, while still saying she would pardon him if she elected and he's convicted of a crime. He denies any wrongdoing and declining to rule out if she'd be his running mate. Also, ABC News and WMUR are cancelling their planned Republican primary debate in New Hampshire on Thursday, 18th of January, citing a lack of candidate participation. Our intent was to host the debate coming out of the Iowa caucuses, but we always knew that would be contingent on the candidates and the outcome of the race in Iowa, an ABC News spokesperson said in a statement. The decision comes shortly after a deadline set by ABC News and New Hampshire TV station WMUR for both former President Donald Trump and former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley to respond to their invitations to the debate by Tuesday afternoon, 16th of January. But neither campaign confirmed that they would attend the debate. Early on Tuesday, 16th of January, in the wake of Trump's dominating the Iowa caucuses, Nikki Haley said in a statement that she would debate only Donald Trump or President Joe Biden, suggesting she would skip a showdown with rival Ron DeSantis in New Hampshire ahead of the New Hampshire primary on 23rd of January. "We've had five great debates in this campaign," the former South Carolina governor said. "Unfortunately, Donald Trump has ducked all of them. He has nowhere left to hide. The next debate I do will either be with Donald Trump or with Joe Biden, and I look forward to it." Nikki Haley's statement came after a third-place showing in Iowa's caucuses, where she got 19% of the vote, behind Ron DeSantis with 21% of the vote, and Donald Trump with 51%.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We want to try to get a better understanding of who is Shaitan, or what is Shaitan. Shaitan refers to an entity that seeks to cause harm and stir rebellion amongst us and remove us from peace and tranquility. If we understand those definitions so far, right, where we've come to, these shayateen, which is something that is harmful, causes rebellion and seeks to take us away from the good, from the goodness of where we are, these shayateen have a leader. Yeah? And whether we know it, whether these shayateen know it or not, they have a leader, and this leader is Iblis. Yeah? Now we get to a proper noun. So the whole time right now, when God talks about shaitan and shayateen, He's not even talking about Iblis yet. He's talking about things which are harmful, yeah, that takes us away. But these shayateen have a leader, and their leader is Iblis. Iblis is the one who refused to do sajda when Allah commanded, right? Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 34, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا illa iblis, ahsantum. Yeah? It gives me great joy when you complete verses of the Quran. It says, and mention when we said to the angels, do sajda towards Adam, before Adam. So they prostrated. Fasajadu illa iblis, except for iblis. Yeah, aba wastakbara wa kana min al kafirin, that he was too arrogant and proudful, and he is indeed from amongst the disbelievers. It's this iblis who has professed an unending war against the creation of Allah. We have to understand like the seriousness of this, right? Like again, I say this because I think even I have been a victim of this. We take it for granted. Iblis is there. Yeah? No, man, he's like a threat that you need to be mindful of at all times. We need to be mindful of at all times because he's so dangerous, right? As we'll talk about in these series, any hesitation in my faith, any slowness in my faith, any lethargy in my faith, it's because of shaitan. It's no other reason. It's because of God's power is too strong for me just to refuse it by myself. It's something causes me to refuse it. Now, maybe after a while it leaves, maybe. But at the same time, it may not just leave, it may leave after it makes me its warrior, right? So now I'm part of his army, and then he leaves. And so I am a continuous chain in this way. He has promised an unending war, right? Allah says in Surah Al-Hijr, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He says that Iblis says to Allah that, my Lord, because you have taken me away or put me in error, I will surely, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on earth. Subhanallah, yeah? Like, you know, like, how much clearer do you want? You know, it's like, you know, like, sometimes, like, in shampoo bottles, they'll say, do not swallow, yeah? And you're like, Baba, who would swallow? Because there was somebody who swallowed, probably, right? But they want to cover all bases. So they say, don't swallow. Don't put in your eye. And you think at that, you're like, Baba, who would do this? But in America, you can sue for anything, right? And so they know, right? This is how shaitan is. Shaitan's made it so clear. You're like, Baba, why do you have to give such warnings? But he's given such warnings, right? If you want to do something bad to somebody, you wouldn't tell him, I'm going to do something bad to you. But he tells us he's going to do something bad to us. And so the warning is clear. And so this is not an empty threat where he says, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them and I will mislead them all, he says, except for your chosen servants. Right? But otherwise, if you have not reached that status of being a mukhlaseen, Shaitan says, I'm coming after you non-stop. Non-stop, I am coming after you. And this is something we have to be very mindful of. Now, Iblis is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in next week's lecture, we'll look at the relationship between Iblis and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a fascinating relationship, right? But he is from amongst the jinn. So what is the creation of Iblis, right? Iblis is from amongst the jinn. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 50, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Yeah? Allah says that when I asked them to do sajda, everyone did sajda except for Iblis. Iblis is from amongst the jinn, right? Who are the jinn? The jinn are a creation that is made of fire. Okay, so we know jinn is a creation. We'll inshallah one day do a subject on jinns, yeah? Because it's an entity again that is a real existence that Allah talks about. And so it's important for us to understand. But Allah says in the Quran in Surah Ar-Rahman, verse number 15, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارِ أَحْسَنْتُمْ, yeah? That, and he created the jinn from a smokeless flame of fire. Okay, so Iblis, remember we said, shayateen from amongst mankind and jinn. The head of them is Iblis. He is from the jinn. The jinn are made of fire. And because they are made of fire, they are in this intermediate state of a physical nature and an immaterial nature. Yeah, and this is important for us to understand about Iblis, right? Now, if we just pause there for a second, jinn as a whole, because they are in this state between a physical nature and an immaterial nature, jinn can take the form of a physical form or an immaterial form. This is why sometimes we don't see jinns around us, but they are around us. And sometimes it may take a form of something that we may not recognize, but it is from amongst the jinn. Like, for example, when Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad, was the Khalifa in Kufa, one day a snake entered, right? This is the Babu Thu'ban we heard about in Masjid al-Kufa, right? But a snake entered. And the people saw a snake. So this is again not uncommon, because they lived in like a wild nature back then, I guess you can say. Or like, you know, more of a jungleish nature. And so a snake came. And so people wanted to go and stop that snake from going any further. And the Imam says, leave it, right? And so the snake went to the Imam alayhi salam, and the Imam said, wait. And it waited. The Imam finished his khutbah. And then the snake had a conversation with him that I am from amongst the jinn and I have come here. And so the point of that is that jinns sometimes take the form of something material, right? And sometimes they take the form of something immaterial. And these jinns are either good or they are bad, right? The good jinns don't harm us. They are there to support us. The bad jinns are trying to mislead us. And Allah says that in the Quran. In Suratul Jinn, verse number 11, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. These are jinns who are talking. And what do the jinns say? That from amongst us are those who are righteous, salih. And there are from amongst us those who are not salih. Yeah? That means these jinns, you know, it's interesting. Again, when we will, inshallah, one day talk about it, the jinns were there in Ghadir. Yeah? They heard Man Kuntu Mawla. And so there are those who submitted, and then there are those who chose not to submit. Okay? Similar to what happened with mankind, who heard Man Kuntu Mawla. There were those who chose to accept, and those who chose not to accept this message, right? So Iblis, and we'll conclude with this, but Iblis being from amongst the jinn, and because of his commitment to attack us at all times, takes both of these forms. And this is something that I want us to leave with this point in mind, right? That yes, Iblis is a jinn, but the jinn can take both of these forms, a physical form and an immaterial form. Similarly, Iblis can take a physical form and can take an immaterial form. And the physical form is when he presents himself as a well-wishing advisor. Yeah? Somebody who smiles in your face. Yeah? Somebody who wishes you goodness. But in that, they're actually leading you away.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Ali. حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you.
Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Secretary General of Lebanon's Islamic Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, said Hassan Nasrallah says the Israeli regime is concealing its heavy losses in the war it is fighting on the border with Lebanon. Also, the United Nations humanitarian chief says famine is around the corner in the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Secretary General of Lebanon's Islamic Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, said Hassan Nasrallah says the Israeli regime is concealing heavy losses that it has suffered in the war on the border with Lebanon. Said Hassan Nasrallah made the remark in a televised speech on Friday, 5th of January, as he addressed the memorial ceremony for the late Hezbollah official Mohammad Yaghi Abu Salim in Lebanon's eastern city of Baalbek. Hezbollah leader said Hassan Nasrallah also offered his condolences on the martyrdom of Saleh al-Aruri, the deputy head of the Hamas Politburo, in an Israeli drone strike in southern Beirut, as well as the martyrdom of scores of Iranians in Daesh-claimed twin bomb attacks in the southern Iranian city of Kerman. The killing of Sheikh Saleh al-Aruri will undoubtedly not go unanswered or unpunished. The decision lies in the hands of the field, and it will undoubtedly be implemented, Nasrallah warned. The leader of the Lebanese Hezbollah movement, Said Hassan Nasrallah, also said remaining silent about such a grave violation would expose all of Lebanon to greater harm than any potential risk from responding in the battlefield. Nasrallah pointed to Lebanon's war in its southern areas with Israel since early October and said, "The resistance movement has carried out hundreds of anti-Tel Aviv operations in support of Palestinians and the resistant groups of the Gaza Strip. Since 8th of October, we have entered into the battle with the Israeli enemy all along more than 100 kilometers of the southern front," Nasrallah warned. He said, "The Islamic resistance in Lebanon carried out more than 670 operations within 3 months, and 48 border sites were targeted more than once." Nasrallah said the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah also targeted the technical and intelligence equipment in the north of the occupied Palestinian territories and completely destroyed them, stressing that a large number of Israeli vehicles and tanks were also destroyed along Lebanon's border with occupied Palestine. Nasrallah cited reports by Israeli health officials that the real death toll was 3 times higher than what the Israeli army has admitted to, and that there are over 2,000 Israeli casualties in 8 hospitals in northern occupied Palestine. What is happening at the southern border was described by one of Israel's former war ministers as a humiliation, the Hezbollah leader said. Severely affected by its heavy losses, the Israeli enemy does differentiate between dead or the wounded, and this part of its policy of general secrecy about its losses. Nasrallah underlined that the operations were very exhausting for the enemy, who exercised secrecy over its great losses. Said Hassan Nasrallah pointed out that one outcome of the fighting on the southern front was the displacement of Israelis from northern settlements, reversing the historical trend where Lebanese people were displaced during multiple wars. This displacement is expected to exert psychological, political, and security pressure on the enemy's cabinet, along with increasing anxiety on the northern front, he said. Nasrallah also emphasized that the ongoing battle in southern Lebanon and northern occupied Palestine provided a historic opportunity for the full liberation of Lebanon. We find ourselves at a historic juncture, presenting a unique opportunity to fully liberate every inch of Lebanese land and establish an equation that safeguards our country's sovereignty, an opportunity initiated by the blessings of the Lebanese front, he said. The resistance's operations along the southern border confirmed the deterrence equations with the Zionist enemy and the chance to establish an equation preventing any encroachment on Lebanon's sovereignty. Since 8th of October, the day after the Israeli regime started its war in Gaza, the frontier between Lebanon and the Israeli-occupied territories have seen deadly exchanges of fire, mainly between the Israeli army and the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah. Reports say Israel has repeatedly used U.S.-supplied, internationally banned white phosphorus bombs in its attacks on Lebanon. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The United Nations humanitarian chief Martin Griffiths says Gaza is a place of death and despair for Palestinians as the Israeli regime continues its attacks on hospitals in southern Gaza. Heavy bombardments have been reported near Deir al-Balah, including at the Nusayrat, al-Maghazi and al-Buraj refugee camps in Gaza, as the Israeli army tries to evacuate southern Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, Lebanon has filed an official complaint to the United Nations Security Council saying that the Israeli regime has fired 6 missiles in the attack that killed top Hamas official Saleh al-Aruri. At least 22,600 Palestinians have been killed and 57,910 others have been wounded in the ongoing Israeli war on Gaza, which started on 7th of October. The revised death toll for the Israeli regime stands at 1,139. Tensions simmer in the occupied West Bank of the River Jordan, with the Israeli military carrying out a series of raids and Israeli settlers shooting a young Palestinian man in the town of Sarif near Al-Khalil in the occupied West Bank. An 11-year-old Palestinian boy was also hospitalized after being lightly wounded with shrapnel during an earlier raid in Yabad. The United Nations humanitarian chief, Martin Griffiths, says Gaza Strip is becoming uninhabitable amid Israel's ongoing onslaught, with famine right around the corner as the Palestinian population struggles with record food insecurity. Also, the leader of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, Said Hassan Nasrallah, says Lebanon would be exposed if the armed group did not respond to the killing of Saleh al-Aruri in Beirut. Israel's war minister, Yoav Gallant, says Israel is closer than ever to conflict with Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah. Flooding in northern Gaza has brought additional misery to the Palestinian refugee camps heavily damaged by Israeli airstrikes, with water and raw sewage seeping into public facilities. Also, flooding in northern Gaza has brought additional misery to the Palestinian refugee camps heavily damaged by Israeli airstrikes, with water and raw sewage seeping into public facilities. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. The United Nations humanitarian chief Martin Griffiths has described Gaza as uninhabitable, 3 months into Israel's devastating war on the territory. In a grim assessment of the devastating impact of Israel's war on Gaza, which started on 7th of October, Martin Griffiths says Gaza's 2.3 million people face basic threats to their very existence. He says tens of thousands of Palestinians, mostly women and children, have been killed or injured. Families are sleeping in the open as temperatures plummet, and areas where Palestinians were told to relocate have now been bombed. Martin Griffiths reiterated the United Nations demands for an immediate end to the war in Gaza and release of all captives, declaring that it is time for the international community to use all its influence to make the ceasefire in Gaza happen. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Keeping the memory of martyrs alive, a necessary repetition for society. December 6, 2023. This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the organizers of the Congress for the commemoration of the 10,000 martyrs from the East Azerbaijan province. This meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on December 6, 2023. I once mentioned in a similar gathering of brothers and sisters from Azerbaijan that the late Sattar Khan had a note in his pocket from the scholars of Najaf during the constitutional revolution, the events that it involved, and the actions he was taking at that time. He had consulted the scholars of Najaf and asked them a question, and they had written their responses. So he took action based on this intention. This is very important. What is the foundation for a move? This needs to be clear. This shows us that if these things are done, then the movement will continue. I would like to refer to the second tactical airbase, Tabriz Airbase. Well, the 31st Ashura Division clearly included individuals who truly shined. That great movement of the planes, our fighters had carried out that great task in the very first days of the war. Of course, they had taken off from the first base and other bases, including the 3rd and 4th bases. They did this during the first week of the war, and I went to the Majlis, Iranian Parliament, and presented a report of this endeavor to the representatives in the Majlis.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
These are noteworthy matters. They are extremely important, and God willing, they should be preserved in people's minds and recorded in the Iranian nation's historical memory. The most important thing that needs to be done is to record these significant events, these influential, unique phenomena, events that are unparalleled at times in the Iranian nation's historical memory. Our youth and our teenagers should know these things. Of course, we have not worked as hard as we should have, and many of our youth do not know about our prominent figures. They are also unaware of many events. We need to share these things, whether it is by way of official broadcasting outlets such as the IRIB, etc., or by way of the devices and means that are available to people today. I hope the Almighty God will grant all of you success so that you will be able to complete this great task. God willing, in the future, the time gap between these commemoration ceremonies and remembrances will be less than the time gap that existed between today's session and the previous commemoration ceremony. May God's greetings, mercy, and blessings be upon you.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.